John and Ken Show, John Cobalt and Ken Shampo, KFI and 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
Welcome, everybody. And of course, do you have any recall numbers to vote? Do you know anything?
No, there must be some malfunction. They're saying Newsom won 2-1. Must be some computer.
2-1. Yeah. Those dang polls were right.
Oh my God.
How about that?
We got a lot to say on that, obviously. A lot of people
voted by mail. An incredible number of people, from what I can see. Yeah. Probably the highest percentage that I think there's been in an election in the state.
Well, because you used to have to apply, right, to get.
Think about it. Well, last year they mailed everyone a ballot. But you think about it, there was so little on it, you'd probably be like, well, why would I go all the way down there to vote in person? It's two freaking questions. You know, previously you had like 10 ballot initiatives. Maybe you wanted to just do it in person just to get it right and stand there and look at it. So I can see why some people
are lazy. They're just lazy.
But they have a right to vote, and this makes it easier.
Well, you know what? We ought to start taking away their right. Look what's happened here.
We're going to start this hour, though, talking about the latest on the news about booster shots for the vaccine. We're going to go to Mark Remillard, ABC News for KFI, who's got some of the data from Pfizer.
Mark, how are you?
Hey, very good, guys. How you doing?
So does the FDA think a booster shot is recommended or no?
The FDA is not taking a stance on this yet. They released data from Pfizer. The data that Pfizer submitted to them in their request for approval of a booster shot, and they released their own kind of analysis of it, but not really saying whether or not they think a booster shot should be approved. And that makes a little bit of sense because the FDA's independent advisory board is meeting on Friday to discuss this, so they're not getting out in front of them, and whatever recommendation they might make come Friday when they hold a vote on this issue actually. But what they've done is release this data from Pfizer looking at the booster shots. And, you know, they say in there that Pfizer particularly says that they think that the immunity or the effectiveness of the vaccine wanes over time. And one thing I thought was interesting in here was they were saying they don't attribute that to the Delta variant. They think that this would be occurring no matter what variant was circulating right now. They think that the immunity is just waning over time and that therefore getting an extra dose 6 months after the second dose reboosts the immune system, puts them back toward the levels that they had when they initially got their first two doses. So that's why Pfizer is saying that they think that this is a good idea. Of course, there's definitely different schools of thoughts on this and whether or not this should occur, given the fact that the vaccines are still holding up quite well against severe illness.
There was a story today that behind the scenes there's a split in the Biden administration with advisors. Some think there should be a push to announce the booster, and others think, well, let's hold back. It doesn't seem like it's necessary yet.
Yeah, I think that there's two different views or lenses you can view this booster issue through. If you view it from the viewpoint of what's the best way to protect an individual, well, if Pfizer's data is correct, then this would show that the best way is with a third dose 6 months after the second dose, because it reinvigorates the immune system once again and puts you back to the levels that you had when you got your primary doses, the first two doses. But if the view is from the broader health of communities and even the globe in that respect, then booster shots, and this is what we've heard from the likes of the WHO, as well as two FDA members who are leaving the agency, but two FDA members who joined this study or this opinion piece that was published in The Lancet this week, where they were basically saying they don't think there's compelling evidence to say that we need a booster right now, given the fact that the vaccines are holding up well against severe illness and death, and that's what's important. So, therefore, we should prioritize the allocation of vaccines to people who are unvaccinated, not reboosting people. So I think it depends on through which lens do you view it. Should individuals have the best protection available, or should we prioritize allocation given that there are people who still have good immunity?
Are we also going down a booster slope here? We get a third shot, and then we're told in 6 months, now you need a fourth shot.
Yeah, well, that's a good question. You know, frankly, we just don't know, right, how long this lasts. And we're starting to see the immunity, according to Pfizer, wane on your the ability to not get infected, right? So this is why we're seeing the breakthrough in infections, at least according to Pfizer. But how long does the stronger immunity last, the immunity that keeps you out of the hospital and dead from COVID-19? That we don't know yet, because that hasn't started to taper nearly to the same degree.
Okay, so I mean, is anybody going to make a recommendation, or is it going to be up to the individual? There are some people who will obviously want the vaccine because they don't want to get sick at all. Others might not care if they get mild symptoms. So is it going to be left up to us?
Well, it's going to be left up to the FDA and the CDC eventually. I mean, look, you can make a choice whether or not you're going to go get a third shot, right? At this point, there's no, even if it was recommended at this point, there's no mandate saying that you need to get a third shot. But right now, the FDA's advisory panel will meet on Friday to discuss Pfizer's booster shot. They're going to hold a vote, and that vote is really going to focus on two main issues. Are the vaccines safe? And if they are they effective and necessary? And if they vote to recommend that, saying that that it meets those criterion, then from there it'll follow the same process we've seen with the other things. It'll then go to the FDA, which will amend its approval or authorization to therefore grant approval of the booster shot for the general public. The CDC's advisory panel will review it and make a recommendation as to who should get it, when, what time, that kind of thing. Finally, the CDC director signs off on it, and we could begin seeing booster shots. So that could happen really soon if this process begins on Friday.
I wouldn't expect you to have an answer to this, but just kind of a thought experiment here. We were just going through a whole ream of stories how in L.A. County they're going to be demanding vaccine verification, or you can't get into bars, restaurants, sporting events, and the like. If the vaccine wears off and you can still get mildly ill and spread it, what does that do to the reliability of your vaccine passport? Yes, you've been vaccinated, but you can still be spreading this thing. You could still have
That's true. Yeah, you know, it's a good question. You know, I always thought it was kind of curious, and I'll just say from personal experience that here in New York City where I live, you have to also, they've already instituted that, to go into a restaurant, gym, or anywhere, you got to show your vaccine card. Now, the card itself, I don't recall seeing an expiration date on, but when you actually sign up, the state has its own mobile app that you can carry in your phone, right? And you can show that.
We've got that
code
here too.
In your phone. Now, I noticed this when I first signed up for it. Mine actually has an expiration date. I don't know if they're doing that everywhere, but perhaps they'll institute an expiration date program similar to that. I don't know.
What was the expiration date? 6 months? A year?
It was 1 year. Huh. Yeah, 1 year. So mine expires April 2022.
That's the first I heard of that.
Now, I don't know if that means I need... Yeah, I don't. I found it curious when I signed up for it's called the Excelsior app, when I first did this myself. So I don't know if that means that I just need to reauthorize it in the app, or if that's like, we don't have booster shots yet. So clearly this is not probably attributing that we need to get a booster shot at that point or whatever. But it is interesting to me that there was an expiration date in mind in the app. And perhaps that's kind of the way they'll go is, well, you have 6 months or 8 months until you need to re-up and then re-register that you have that. I don't know.
All right, Mark, thank you very much for updating us on this.
No problem, guys. Thanks.
Mark Revillard, ABC News for KFI, and Pfizer is reporting that indeed a third shot is probably a good idea. Again, the FDA has not weighed in on this, but supposedly the Biden administration wants to start rolling this out next week. And of course, you could say, well, Pfizer definitely has a motive and an incentive here to want a third shot.
That's
more money.
But if they're trying to downplay the necessity of a booster shot because poor countries haven't gotten their first dose.
I know, well, that's political.
Most people aren't going
to care. That's not medical, that's political.
Most people aren't going to care about that.
That's
and now that makes me doubt their intentions. If they don't give approval to the booster, I'm going to be wondering, okay, are you being woke here? Or are you telling me the medical truth? Or do you think the poor countries have to get their first shot before I get a third shot? And most people, if you want that third shot, aren't going to care.
All right, there's a little bit more to talk about on this, more stuff coming out of Israel when it comes to the third shot. And believe it or not, a fourth shot is already being lined up in that country. Coming up next.
John and Ken, KFI. John and Ken Show, John Cobell and Ken Champeau. It's KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
All right, the Moist Line is back in a couple of days. You want to sound off, particularly on the ugly recall results? 1-877-MOIST-86, 1-877-664-7886. And we'll be back on that topic coming up after the news at 4 o'clock. We were just talking about the need for a third shot if you got Pfizer or Moderna vaccine. Apparently, some of the consensus that's building is that it might be a good idea to get that third booster shot. Now, in Israel, they put out a study, and it's a small study, but they claim that when they gave the third shot to people, that it gave them 10 times more antibodies than the second dose. I wonder if they knew this from the beginning when they were devising this vaccine. That, because remember, they told us pretty early on, well, you're going to have two shots. Now, unlike J&J, but this is the new technology. mRNA technology. There's going to be two shots. I wonder if they figured that probably over time there's going to be the need for a third shot. And now we're hearing that Israel is planning fourth shots for people. So part of me is thinking, I mean, if you really care about this, you may have to prepare yourself for getting like a booster shot every year or so.
They had said that early on. That they were guessing, educated guessing based on experience, that this would become a once a year shot like the flu vaccine, and that there were going to be variants, and hopefully they can catch up to the variants.
Well, I think Moderna says they're going to come out with a shot that's both the booster for COVID and the regular flu shot together.
Right.
That'd be nice. I mean, I don't really, you two may be queasy about needles. I don't really care, but I don't feel like ordering it.
I
wish there was a way. Why isn't there a way? This is my medical imaginary mind. Because they're talking about, you know, we're all different. And our immunity may wane differently in different people. Obviously, the elderly is why they're at the top of the list, because naturally your immunity wanes with age. But I wish there was a way to measure how your immunity is looking against COVID. Some sort of a quick diagnostic.
You can get a test.
They could say, well, you do need the booster. They could say, oh, you're doing fine. So, in a month.
No, you can't get a test that tells you if you have the antibodies or not. Because I took one. There was a doctor who came over the house for something else.
Oh, you took one before the vaccine,
didn't you? Before the vaccine, but it would tell you that you did run into COVID. You didn't notice, but you do have the antibodies.
And you did not.
I did not.
No.
And today... there's a story that they've discovered there's something called hybrid immunity or superhuman immunity. And the hybrid immunity is when you've had the vaccine and you've gotten COVID. So you do have more antibodies. Superhuman immunity, there are certain people who just produce a tremendous amount of antibodies. Their immune system is naturally supercharged. You know, like some people have weak immune systems.
Right.
And they're the ones who are getting offed early by this. Well, there are some people who are basically bulletproof.
Yeah, it's like the same thing they said about blood types. I haven't seen a follow-up study on that, but they say certain blood types seem to have a better chance of not really reacting to COVID. And then there are other blood types. It's like, oh, that's where a lot of the seriously ill ended up.
They did a test on the hybrid antibodies, people who had COVID and had the vaccine.
Right.
And what they did is they gave people, on purpose, a deactivated virus. They had engineered it, and they had 20 mutations. And it turns out antibodies with the hybrid immunity could neutralize it.
Oh.
Yeah, so, I mean, the catch is, to get the hybrid immunity, you have to get sick with COVID and then get vaccinated. And then the superhuman immunity comes naturally. You're just lucky.
Right.
You were born that way.
Yeah.
All right. I bet you there's a test, because if there's a... The other thing is the antibodies aren't the whole ball game. Is the antibodies are just the first line of defense. They think that your B cells and your T cells are the memory cells, and that the B cells will surround an invading virus, and then the T cells kill it once it's been your body's been exposed to that virus. Then later on, if you get a second time, the backup troops know what to do.
All right, when we come back, California as we know it today, more violence at a homeless encampment, more people stealing from stores. We'll give you the update coming up.
Oh, by the way, did you see the poop story in the Post?
No.
Go to the Post and scroll down. Excellent poop story we're going to want to do.
Poop, woohoo!
Poop story, yeah.
Can't wait.
No other show promotes the poop story.
Oh, I know.
John and Ken Show, John Cobalt and Ken Shampoo. It's KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
All right. Who's ready to join me? Recall Gavin 2021. Let's go. Let's start it again. Why not? Let's get some signature gatherers out there.
Fortunately, sure. There is an election next year, so everybody can take another crack at him. But
June. I mean, the primary's in June. That'll be the first vote for the governor.
Where do you get a competitive candidate?
I don't know. And I don't think a Democrat will challenge him. I don't think so. Because he's surviving the recall with an even bigger percentage than he got in 2018.
No.
I can't see that happening.
Right. And so there are 40 million people, and there's nobody who can effectively campaign against all the obvious nonsense going on? Hard to believe.
He's got the power of the party machine behind him.
Yeah, which is money.
All the money. Oh, yeah, that's stimulus money. Yeah, they sent out nice stimulus checks in the last few weeks. All right, we'll talk about the details of this debacle coming up after 4 o'clock and some other things you need to know concerning the state of California today, particularly with the poverty rate, the poverty level. We do lead the country in poverty. Yay! Now, on to John's favorite homeless encampment, the San Vicente encampment in the neighborhood of Brentwood in Los Angeles. This is, outside the VA?
Yeah, it's on San Vicente Boulevard, just off of Wilshire. If you're going west towards the ocean down Wilshire, you make a right on San Vicente. It's in front of the VA. And then you go up San Vicente, and there's about 50 tents, all with American flags on them. And it's put together by a specific group who's making some kind of political point. And it's the convergence of a local L.A. city street, county sidewalk. In fact, I think the right lane of the street is county and the left lane is the city.
Oh, get
something
out of
like
here.
That. Yeah, that's what somebody told me. And then the tents are backed up on the grass in front of a an iron fence. And the grass and the fence are on federal land. So you have city, county, and federal land, which is the perfect place to put an encampment because it allows all the idiot politicians to say, well, it's their problem.
But the last time we talked about this encampment, they were cleaning it up. They weren't sweeping it away, but they were cleaning it up. This was weeks ago, I guess. But you said the people came back.
Well, the people never left. It's just all the garbage was thrown out. And the feces and the bicycle parts and all the other junk and debris and stolen stuff.
Oh, so the tents stay up and they just walk around and sweep around it?
Yeah, the tents were never taken down.
I'm looking at the pictures here in the Fox 11 story. A lot of people have like flags on top of their tents and tarps, I guess, to show their vets.
No, yeah, well, maybe
they're patriots.
Maybe they are. We don't know that. But that's a good way to deflect criticism, isn't it?
The story this afternoon is that there's been another death at this homeless encampment. Another guy got stabbed. Cops were called. Looks like LA County Sheriff's Department. 6:30 this morning. And an adult male was transported to a hospital, dead. We don't know his identity yet. This is not the first time. Back in April, a homeless man was booked on murder because he ran over another homeless guy with a car at the same encampment. They got into some kind of an argument.
Well, on the Nextdoor app, there's a woman named Michelle who's with the Brentwood Community Council, and she posted some more details. She wrote, and this is according to LAPD Captain John Tom, homicide happened at the encampment at 6:30 a.m. this morning. The victim was a male veteran He intervened in a domestic violence incident between two other residents and was stabbed. And then he was taken to a hospital and died there. They arrested the suspect, also a veteran, and they're doing the investigation now. It's the LA Sheriff's Department that did the arrest. An additional paragraph says that the Sheriff's Department removed one tent from the encampment last Thursday and is gradually proceeding with encampment removal. Sheriff Villanueva had said he was going to go after this encampment.
Yeah, he did. That's so, right. That was exciting news to you.
Yeah. So they've gotten one tent.
One tent gone and, what, 100 to go? I don't even know how many are here.
Well, on the outside, there's maybe, I don't know, 40 or 50. On the inside, on the veterans' land, there's, I don't know, 100, 200. It's as far as you can see. There's no way to tell how many tents there are. There's endless little tent bubbles all over the federal land. Of course, there's nothing the neighborhood can do about that. They're at least behind the iron gates. But the ones in front of the iron gates, they're terrorizing the locals who live in the apartments nearby and terrorizing people who eat in the fancy restaurants down the block.
Well, all right. So at the risk of my own sanity, let's try to go through this. The VA is supposed to give help to veterans, particularly if they're homeless. So somebody who's never heard this story before might say, why can't they just go inside there and get help? And when we covered this story, I remember Corbin Carson went there and he found out from employees at the VA, yeah, we know a lot of those guys out there. We know them all by name. They're not coming in here for help.
This encampment is a setup.
So you think it's some kind of protest, and I don't even understand that.
Well, we had a guy on the air who admitted it. His name is Robert, and he's with a group. And not to get deep in the weeds, but there has been a long-running feud between these activist groups, the ACLU, and the VA. The VA has a lot of empty land and a lot of very old buildings. And they don't use the buildings or the land to help the veterans. And these groups are angry about it. The VA also leases a lot of the land to various groups. There was a golf course on the land, like a pitch and putt. There's a school that leases the land. There's a theater on the land. There's storage facilities that I think a movie company used. So the VA has leased out parcels of land and is making money. But they don't provide, according to these protest groups, the services or the housing that's needed. And it's been in court for about 8 years. One judge said this. The judge got overturned, just a complete mess. It's impossible to understand. Oh. And so we're at a standstill because here's the protest group. And Sheila Kuehl, who's the supervisor, does nothing about it. Mike Bonin does nothing about it. That's the worst combination. You live where Sheila Kuehl and Mike Bonin are your representatives, forget it.
Where they intersect. Yeah.
Yeah. They have no interest in normal civilization at all. They back up chaos. So now there's homeless people stumbling around in the streets. Their junk is in the streets. They're so wasted on drugs and alcohol. And you can't drive in the right lane as you're rounding off of Wilshire because you'll run over people. Sometimes they jump out in front of you just as a gag. So you got to get in the left lane and be on high alert to swerve.
Do you think Sheriff Villanueva has a chance here with all of these people in the way?
He's just going to do what he did in Venice. Because the sidewalk where...
Well,
the tent,
one tent.
Yeah. You know what he's doing? To give him the benefit of the doubt, he's going by the book. If you notice, at the end of the Venice cleanup, nobody could say boo that he did anything illegal, unethical, cruel, because they interviewed everybody. He's got some nonprofits who are legitimate, willing to help. And he says, okay, we got a place for you here. We got a place for you there. Now either take it or get out. So from what I read here on this next door post from this Brentwood Community Council person is he's beginning the process now. And Villanueva is really your only hope if you live in the city or county of Los Angeles.
Now, will this compel Bonin to step in there with his relief organization like he did in Venice?
He hasn't
to try to claim victory.
This isn't getting any news coverage. Venice was an international story.
Yes, Venice became a big deal. It was covered all over the planet.
Right. Yeah, so this is
You'd think this would, because, you know, the term veteran makes people very sympathetic.
Well, I don't know, because these are veterans, like you said, could get help if they would just go behind the iron gate, and they're not.
Yeah.
And they're basically drug addicts and alcoholics, from what I can tell. I mean, I see them drinking straight from the bottle. There's empty bottles scattered about, and they stagger around, and their behavior suggests meth or heroin.
Wow. All right, we got more coming up.
John and Ken, KFI. John and Ken Show. John Cobell and Ken Champeau. It's KFI AM 640. Live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
All right, well, we'll go through the recall vote results. We'll play you Gavin Newsom's yes speech to the point where you'll be screaming for us to turn it off. A little bit from what Larry Elder had to say last night in defeat. Coming up after the news at 4 o'clock. We'll also cover that Senate hearing with the gymnast testifying about the sex abuse at the hands of that Larry Nassar. The hearing was called because of the FBI's role in this horrible story, that they pretty much dragged their feet on the investigation into Larry Nassar, despite building stories about what he was doing to these young girls. More fallout, gotta be, from Proposition 47, passed by the voters in 2014. Of course, we all know about what it did with the drug crimes. That took away the leverage that the courts had to make somebody get into treatment. That's why we got a lot of homeless people all drugged out, lying on the streets. There's no consequences. The other half of it dealt with theft, right? $950 or less, it's a citation. It's a little misdemeanor, nothing. So, you know, for the past several years, people have been going crazy, usually in San Francisco, taking stuff out of stores. Daytime. Right in front of security guards, just walking out with merchandise. This story out of Orange County concerns four people who've been arrested on suspicion of stealing $2 million worth of retail products. But get this part, 43 different stores. You see how this works? I guess they wanted to make sure that they divvied out their thefts.
$950 at a time?
Maybe.
Every day?
Do the math. I don't even know. They stored them inside a mobile home and a bunch of storage units. Jaime Mendoza, Maritza Guerrero, both of Anaheim, were taken into custody at the end of August. Investigators saw them commit at least one theft and deliver the stolen merchandise to the mobile home. The pair was identified by investigators from TJX Companies, Inc., which serves TJ Maxx, Marshalls, and Home Goods stores. So that's where they did some of these crimes. They took merchandise from those stores. The company contacted the CHP, California Highway Patrol's Organized Retail Crime Unit, which works with retailers across the state to go after these kind of crews.
I'm guessing the company probably saw these same two characters on all their video over and over and over again.
Yeah, walking out with, I don't know, a vase or a who knows what they were taking.
Because a lot of the goods were from TJ Maxx, Marshalls, and Home Goods. That's what they found in the mobile home. And $65,000 in cash. Probably from the stuff they fenced.
They had storage units. They had the mobile home. They used trucks to haul away the stolen goods. What I'm surprised at, all the merchandise still had store tags. Several even had security sensors. I guess that didn't make any difference. I'm surprised they hadn't, you know, sold the stuff, fenced it by now. But maybe this was just their latest haul.
I don't know. It could be they had an ongoing operation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that they probably sold a lot of the stuff, but you can go out every day and you go to a different.
This could be your job.
I mean, if you could steal how quickly can you steal $1,000 worth of stuff? If you go to a store like Home Goods, doesn't take much.
No.
And you could do that and then go to another one and another one and another one. You know, you could probably steal what, $10,000 a day, maybe more.
So, and this is the key. Officials didn't say what information was provided to the CHP, but apparently they do believe that this crew was stealing during daytime business hours. So, yeah, they would literally just, like you saw those guys up in San Francisco, go into the pharmacies and just take stuff off the shelves and walk out. They were probably doing the same thing.
No one's stopping them, and the police aren't going to come.
No. Well, but You know, they've talked about this. They said, well, remember in Sacramento, they were talking about modifying Proposition 47 to go after people that, you know, they steal less than $9.50 from one store, then they go to another store and steal less than $9.50. So they want to go after them for their accumulated theft.
But they didn't fix that. They didn't do anything.
Yeah, I don't remember what they did with that.
No, they
were
didn't
discussing
do
it.
And it's just not enforced. It's a free-for-all. Again, another issue that should have been discussed very loudly and extensively during the campaign. Never happened.
No.
Nobody in the media is interested. Just, you know, let all these companies go broke.
Yeah. Crime, homelessness go on. But this governor saves us from COVID. He saves us.
Well, yeah.
He saved lives.
In fact, we're going to talk about the recall failure when we come back, including the incredible numbers, the incredible percentages of people who were voting on the pandemic here. And Newsom's role. And it is mind-boggling. It is staggering. It is an alternate universe. John and Ken Show. Deborah Marquez News. KFI AM 640.